Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Hey everyone, today I'm super, super excited to have Kelsey Wiebe, a holistic life coach, personal trainer, and nutrition coach, to come talk to me. Welcome, Kelsey. So, thank you so much for coming to my podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and I'm excited to be here.
You had so many labels already as I was introducing you. Maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, your philosophy, what you actually do.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously, I've been a personal trainer for well over 10 years, was working in gyms and working one-on-one with clients in person. But now I work completely virtually. And I've actually gotten a little bit away from just the physical aspect. And I really specialize in working with women to heal their relationship with food and with exercise so that they can really show up fully in a life and in a body that they love.
I think that's so amazing to hear because, you know, a lot of the times we don't actually realize that when we are not feeling our best, we're also not giving our best to people around us. And I think it's so nice, you know, so wonderful that you are helping people essentially maximize on their life experience. So I know, you know, we talked about what we were going to talk about today. And because it's coming up to Christmas, we thought we'd talk a little bit about the whole, you know, issue around disordered eating or eating disorders. And I understand that you had your own journey with this. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I struggled with eating disorders for nearly 18 years, as early as the age of 12. I really struggled first with anorexia and got really down to a very, very low, very unhealthy weight. Then through some therapy, was able to heal a little bit. And then through college, I was struggling a lot with anxiety. I was actually diagnosed with a panic disorder and just really had this issue with perfectionism and just always wanting to be perfect at everything. I was a pre-med, my degree was in biomedical science and chemistry. And also at the time, I got married at that time. And then after college, and I had started my career as a personal trainer, and then I ended up getting divorced. And I realized that during that divorce, it was a really emotionally traumatic time. And at that time, I really struggled with binge eating. And I would be eating perfect all day long as this perfect little personal trainer with my little meal prep stuff. But I would come home and I would binge eat on whole jars of peanut butter, or it was whole boxes of granola or cereal, or it just felt like I didn't have control at night was the biggest issue. And then I really kind of got into a downward spiral and was struggling with binging and purging, also overeating and then excessive exercise to kind of make up. And it just kind of got into this really horrible pendulum where I would over restrict or over exercise. And then I would lose control and binge, and then I'd overcorrect again. And it was just this constant swinging. And it really wasn't until I'm coming up on my year of recovery. And I honestly, at this time, Christmas last year, I still very vividly remember trying to eat so well at Christmas, and then at night, just losing it again. I knew New Year's was coming, and I hadn't fulfilled all of my whatever I wanted for New Year's, and I felt like a failure, and I was just binging all my mom's cake that she had made for Christmas, and I was I'm never going to figure this out. And that was when I found my friend, who's a registered dietitian for the United States Army, she introduced me to intuitive eating. And I had never, like, I'd heard, I was like, I just, oh, intuitive eating, you just eat, right? But there's actually principles, there's guidelines, and it was rejecting the diet mentality and learning to listen to my hunger fullness cues. That was huge. And then more than anything, recognizing that my issues with binge eating, binging and purging, it all came from this place of feeling like I don't deserve. After like my divorce, I just felt like I deserved punishment. I didn't deserve to be happy. I didn't deserve to feel good about myself. I just, in my head, it was my fault. And unfortunately, in this idea of trying to punish myself or make up for that or whatever else, like, it ended up leading to toxic relationships. It ended up me hurting my family. It ended up me hurting my body. Obviously, it was a whole slew of things. So this whole year has been a journey, not only with learning how to be a more intuitive eater and mindful eater, but also how to love myself and realize my own self-worth. And it's amazing because all of a sudden, when you feel good about you and when you're no longer obsessed about food and your body, now you have the headspace and the energy and the love that you can give and you can serve and you can be present. And anyway, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm like, when I was listening to that, I was like, I'm crying inside and I want to hug you. And I think you touch on a very important point there about the self-punishment. And I remember when we talked a couple weeks ago, I was telling you about this British athlete who made a documentary on the BBC, and he is a national cricket player called Freddie Flintoff. And that really touched me because usually, number one, I think we assign disordered eating to women mainly. Mm-hmm. And number two, you would think that being a top, you know, elite athlete representing a country, they must have dietitians and nutritionists at hand, right? Like, how is this even possible? And when I watched the documentary and listened to his story about how this all happened, and, you know, he had bulimia, he still has bulimia, and he's come up to talk about it, I was really grateful that someone like him would be very open about it. But I think what that kind of made me think even more about is, I know that there is disordered eating and there is eating disorder.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between the two, actually?
I mean, I think it all comes down really to the frequency and the severity of the behavior. So there's a lot of people, like, I was never actually like officially diagnosed. Like, I didn't go to a doctor and I wasn't diagnosed with binge eating and I wasn't diagnosed with bulimia, but with the severity, I know that I was, like, I could have been diagnosed in those with those things. What I see more often than not is people assume that disordered eating is normal. And what I mean by disordered eating, so it's not like anorexia where, like, it's very clear, right? It's very clear that there's a problem here, you're not eating, or bulimia. Obviously, you're purging, you're throwing up. That's definitely an eating disorder. And even orthorexia. Orthorexia is that when you're such a careful eater, like, and you're obsessing about food all of the time, and you're thinking like, well, is it perfectly grass finished? Is everything like wild caught? Is it like, does it have this oil in it? You know, whatever. It's just like to the point where you're thinking about food all the time. But disordered eating is, I would say a lot of people fall into the disordered eating category and don't even realize it because it's so normalized by diet culture. And it's this idea of, like, ignoring your hunger cues, right? It's this idea of that, like, I was kind of like pendulum swinging I was talking about where you'll overeat. You feel bad. You feel like you're a bad person or you've done something wrong. And then you try and make up for it by either excessive exercise or by I used to call it, I'm intermittent fasting. It's healthy for me. But in all honesty, I'm just not eating because I ate so much the night before. And I was really just trying to make up for it. And it's this idea of like other symptoms of disordered eating would be constantly body checking. So anytime you pass like a reflective surface or a mirror and you're constantly like lifting your shirt or you're always like, or if you're constantly weighing yourself and if you are constantly putting all of your self-worth or how, you know, oh, is today going to be a good day or a bad day? Well, it all depends on what the scale says. It's anything where you're constantly thinking about food, what you should or shouldn't be eating. It's anytime that you feel like a food might have control over you. And yeah, so it really is a symptom, I would say, of chronic dieting. And that's what we've been told in this society, that we need to constantly, you know, to be healthy, you need to cut out this kind of food. You shouldn't eat this, instead of just actually just honoring our hunger cues, honoring our fullness cues, and not food shaming ourselves.
So that's a really useful distinction, I think, between eating disorders and disordered eating, because one thing that I'm always very mindful about in terms of reminding people is don't so easily, I guess, label yourself to have an eating disorder, right? It's really good to recognize that your eating behavior is disordered, right? Meaning that you have the awareness and you can improve on it. But I think it's really important not to just, it really undermines the problem. I think if everybody goes around saying they've got an eating disorder.
I've got a whole online course and program, and the whole emphasis is recognize, redesign, refine. So in order to change any behavior, you first must recognize it, right? And so for like the first part that we work on is our thoughts and recognizing the negative stories that we're telling ourselves. Like I said, I used to think to myself, oh, I don't deserve that. Oh, I don't deserve to take time for myself. I don't deserve to feel good. And so now whenever I have things like for me, like my arms, like I know I just have a bigger upper body. I just do naturally, which is great on one hand, because I can do like 10 pull-ups, no problem. It's pretty cool as a chick. But like at the same time, there was times in the past when I felt really self-conscious about that, because I have a bigger upper body. I've got a bigger back. I've got like, I'll always like kind of have some jiggle in my triceps, no matter how strong I get. And what the biggest thing that ended up happening was I just had to recognize the thought. So the moment that I started like obsessing or feeling bad about like a, you know, a roll of belly fat or like the jiggle in my arms or acne or whatever, I would give myself a little snap on my wrist with my rubber band. And this is something I got from Jay Shetty. So if any, I'm not saying I came up with this. Jay Shetty's amazing. I love him. Yeah. Check out his podcast. But he came up with the spot stop swap. And I think it's amazing. So if you can spot, recognize that negative thought, stop it in its tracks, and then swap it with something else, something positive, whether it be a gratitude like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that I have legs. I'm so thankful I am strong enough to do pull-ups. I'm so thankful, you know, I have eyes that can see, or something that you do really like about yourself. Like I love how... I love my butt. I will say that. I like my butt, you know, whatever. So, you know, switch it for something like that. So that's the whole thing is spot it, stop it, swap it, and starting with our thoughts, because I talk about how, like, everyone wants to lose weight or get better, right? And we all think like, we all think about the external stuff, like, oh, I just need to eat right, exercise. I need food and exercise. And it's true. Like, that's definitely going to help you, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like the reason that we're not consistent, the reason that we don't actually do the things that we know we should do is we're not focusing on what's underneath the surface. We're not focusing on the inside, on our thoughts, on our emotions, on our beliefs. Like a belief is just a thought you keep thinking again and again and again and again. So if I keep thinking I'm a POS, or I keep thinking I'm fat, if I keep thinking these things, then I'm going to believe that way. And if I believe that, you know, weight is always going to be a struggle for me, if I believe that I'm worthless unless I weigh a certain amount or look a certain amount, that's going to impact the external. That's going to impact whether I eat right or I exercise or self-sabotage or soothe my anxiety. So.
And I think this day and age, you know, it's not really a modern development. People always cared about appearance. And unfortunately, it's something that we have all linked with our self-worth and self-value. Over time, that's developed into this unbreakable link between what we look like and who we are. Mm-hmm. It's as if I'm super tanned, super white teeth, super fit, you know, if I'm a woman, I've got perfect figure. If I'm a man, I've got, you know, biceps the size of my head, then it must make me a better person, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that's not true. Even as children, we're being taught, don't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
And yet as adults, not even with physical appearance, but with how much we care about our food, that suddenly becomes a measure of you as a person, which I find to be very odd.
So I do these exercises with my one-on-one clients and kind of so for me, I think that everything starts with, well, what do you want? Right. Well, let's start with what do you want? And a lot of people say, well, I want to lose 20 pounds. I'm like, okay, great, cool. Why? You know, and like, there's always and it's digging in with those whys. And a lot of it is just like, obvious. I want more energy. I want longevity. I want to be more present with my kids. And let's be honest, we are human beings. We are tribal beings. We want to feel a sense of belonging. But at the same time, like, it's really important to recognize that we want that sense of belonging to be for who we are, our truest selves. And so that's why, so I ask them what they want, why they want it, and then who do you need to be in order to have those things? Mm-hmm. And we focus on, and that's my whole company, right? Like, rediscover you. I want to know, what does the best version of you look like? Mm-hmm. How does she carry herself? How does she wake up in the morning? What does she eat? Who are her friends? What is her relationship? You know, what does her relationship look like? What does she do for work? Really just taking those layers down, because when you start there and when you start from a place of love and caring for yourself, then the nourishing your body and that external stuff and just getting the steps and drinking the water, whatever else, that just comes naturally. Mm-hmm. Because that's the whole point is, this is who I am. I just am somebody who prioritizes my health. Mm-hmm. I am a morning person. I am someone who's confident and who loves myself and feels really good in my own skin. This is who I am.
Nothing will be difficult once you identify exactly what you want. And the flip side of that, so funny story, I only learned to cycle as an adult.
Really?
And that's fascinating. Yeah. The most important lesson I learned from cycling actually is, don't focus on what you don't want. Because every time I would see a lamppost and think, don't go into the lamppost, I go into the lamppost.
Yes.
Right, so that was such a surprising epiphany for me. And I think when it comes to the dieting culture as well, it's always, don't eat this. There's a whole list of things you can't eat. And that to me is already such a big barrier to so many people, because you're telling them you're not allowed something. And that is easily, you know, the worst thing to say to anybody, even as a kid. If you said to a child, hey, don't pick that up, what are they going to do? Pick it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. The cycling thing, that was a very useful but very surprising epiphany for me.
Well, I love that. So that's, again, like, I preach that over and over and over again. You get what you focus on. Where focus goes, energy flows, results show. And so again, if you're focusing on all the things you don't like about yourself, if you're focusing on all your imperfections, on all of those little things that make you upset or all of your shortcomings, that's what you're going to see more of in your life. Whereas if you can focus on all of the things you appreciate, on all the things that you're doing well, on all, like, that's how you wire your brain. Like, if when you want a habit, like, it's all about your reward system. And so like, if you can really focus on your wins, like rather than focusing on all the workouts you didn't get that week, maybe you focus on all the workouts you did, or all of the walks you did do, or all of the vegetables you did eat, or, you know, like those things. When you focus on that, you tell your brain, hey, this is awesome. Let's keep doing this. But I love that.
Laura, I've got a question for you because you'll be good at this. I'm thinking of giving something small to a couple of my friends, but I've run out of ideas of what to give them.
Excuse me, what about my range of candles? The London one would be perfect for your evenings in. It's also made of coconut wax and essential oils, which makes them both vegan and pet friendly.
Oh my God, I cannot believe I've actually forgotten that you've got a whole range of candles.
All my candles, they're inspired by my travels.
For people who don't care for candles, Laura also has loads of other homeware products that are super chic and will be perfect for gifting for any occasion.
Also, if you run out of ideas, I've put some curated gift sets together online, so you can really customize them with the color combinations and different products, and they're all neatly wrapped in gorgeous packaging.
And remind me, where can people find your amazing collection?
So my website is laurajacksondesign.com, or you can also find me on Instagram, laura_jackson_designs.
So everyone check out Laura's stuff now and use promo code nutrition to get 15% off any orders. That's promo code nutrition.
Yeah, and I mean, Christmas is around the corner. Festivals and celebrations can be a very difficult time, especially for people with, I guess, the beginning signs of disordered eating, or who are having an eating disorder or are recovering from it. And for me, you know, I'm quite fortunate that I don't I haven't experienced any of this, but I know that Christmas, peer pressure is a real thing. It could be from your family, it could be from friends, it could be from colleagues. And what are your thoughts around, you know, why is it so hard around Christmas? Because we all allow ourselves mentally to binge, but then most people then feel bad about that. And it just seems like a very silly kind of cycle that we go through in our heads every Christmas.
Yeah. And for us in the US, like, it just feels like it's this huge spiral, like Halloween, and then we just had like Thanksgiving, right? So then it's a big binge fest, and then you're like, oh well, you know, just continue on into
Christmas.
Might as well just keep going. Whatever. 2021, 2020 has been BS anyway.
it has.
Yes. But at the same time, so for me, and this is something, again, I'm on my year. I'm actually really looking forward to this Christmas, because for the first time, I'm going into it without any anxiety, and I'm going into it without any feeling like I need to change anything or do anything drastic. For me, the biggest thing I want people to focus on is just being present, being in the moment, and watch out for this FOMO. So there's this idea of like fear of missing out. And I get it. I understand, like, but you know, it's Christmas and all the foods, and I'm never going to see these foods again. You don't understand. But honestly, like if you can go into the situation, present and ask, like, I always have my clients, like, we do a hunger scale of like, a 1 to 10. So like, what does gentle hunger feel like? What does like ravenous feel like? So if you can make sure that you're going into the moment, not ravenous. I know so many people are like, I'm going to save all my calories for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Things don't do that. Like, so instead, can you maybe eat something lighter in the morning or whatever else, still, so that you're not starving? Because when we're starving, it's like reaction mode. We just like shovel food in our face as fast as we possibly can. We're not even, we're not even there. We're not even tasting it. So
and you're probably not talking to people around you either.
You're just like as quickly as possible and whatever else. And you're not caring about what the food is. So, I mean, making sure that you're coming into it without saving calories, And then checking in with your hunger and your fullness. And the big thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, it takes 15 to 20 minutes for those fullness cues to kick in. And so take your time, actually taste your food, enjoy this beautiful moment, enjoy the experience. Don't worry, like one day is not going to destroy you, but also if you're listening to your fullness cues and you stop when you're satisfied, I promise you, you're not going to feel bad anyway. Like, because there is no good or bad food. You're just listening to your body. And guess what? There's almost always leftovers. So you can have more later. You're an adult. You can make that choice.
And also, potatoes, for example. You can make potatoes.
You can! Any time of the year.
Yeah, so back to Christmas and eating, right? And yeah, I think the FOMO thing is so, so true. And people, you just need to realize what you eat at Christmas, you can actually eat any other time in the year. And also, there's nothing wrong with leaving that as the one meal in the year that's special.
Mm-hmm.
I love the anticipation running up to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in this country, because we don't do Thanksgiving, what you'll find is that you have Halloween. The minute Halloween is over, you can buy Christmas things.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's just crazy. Super crazy. So let's go back to talking about Christmas, right? And then all the kind of traps we set for ourselves. You mentioned already the concept of saving up calories. Now, I want to remind everyone, you are not a locker. That you can't just empty it and then fill it all up. Like, we don't work like that, right?
I've never heard that. I like that.
And yeah, our human bodies just don't work like that. And it also means once you've had that great big Christmas meal, you can't just not eat the next day. Because your body's going to go insane if you do that to your body.
And I will say, so that right there, because I have a couple of, like, not clients, but people I was talking to, and they're like, okay, they're like already thinking about Thanksgiving coming or like whatever. And like,
because it's stressful.
It's stressful. And so for them, they're just like, well, I'm just going to go on a 3-day cleanse after. And I'm like, no. So the problem with doing like a cleanse or making up for it or whatever the next day is, it's twofold. Number one, yes, your body doesn't work like that. And if you like end up cleansing, then you're going to end up binging right afterwards, like whatever. And then the other problem is then you kind of get into this Last Supper mentality. Like, well, I better get it all in. I'm going to get it all in right now today. I'm going to stuff myself to the brim because I'm not going to eat for the next 3 days, right? Wouldn't it just be better to just enjoy the meal, leave feeling satisfied, leave feeling really good, and knowing that, hey, now I have some leftovers that I can enjoy later, or I can take on, it's okay. Like, especially if weight loss is the goal, it really does just come down to being in a caloric deficit, and it doesn't really matter what the food is. And if you're really present, you're far more likely to not overeat and overindulge, and you can still be in the moment, enjoy without any guilt, any shame, and just be present.
And I think when you talked about leftovers, it made me think of, name any culture in the world, food is an expression of love, right? Food is amazing.
Absolutely. It is.
But at the same time, when your grandma presents you with a plate of cookies, how do you say no, right? Or when you know that your family have spent the entire day, which is usually true for Thanksgiving and Christmas, preparing this, you know, this display, basically having a buffet at home. Most people would find it very difficult to show any, you know, it's almost like the losing self-control, stuffing your face is your answer to that love.
Right.
And I find that to be a very delicate thing to balance, because you don't want people to stop enjoying food from their family or their loved ones. Right. Because that is always the tastiest food.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, you know, people need to learn about, maybe you can tell us about, you know, how how do we strike that balance of honoring, you know, the other person's intentions, but also honoring ourselves?
I think that's an awesome question. And I'll be honest, like, I have a lot of clients, regardless if it's Christmas or if it's any sort of family function, or honestly, any sort of social setting where you feel obligated to eat the food. So I kind of come at it from a couple of different ways. Number one, obviously recognizing that it's from a place of love, and you just checking in with yourself first and asking yourself, is this something I really want right now? Like, if it's for an experience, or like, if it's something that you don't want to eat, is it because you're trying to lose weight, or you think that this is bad, or that have you told yourself this self-fulfilling prophecy, this story that, well, once I have a little, I'll have to have all of it. Like, I have no control. Or is it that you're just like, you know what? Like, I know that I want to enjoy my dinner, and I don't really want to overeat on this right now, or whatever it is. Like, I'd much rather be able to enjoy, savor, and not feel overstuffed. Or especially if it's a dietary need, like if you know that certain foods are just really not going to make you feel good, like they maybe upset your digestion or whatever else. Or I know for certain people, like I have a friend, she's a vegetarian. That's great. Like, and her family doesn't really understand, but for her, like, that is something that she doesn't do it for weight loss. It's just something, you know, she does it for her own conscious or her own reasonings. And for her, she has this discussion with them. It's nothing personal. This is just for me. Please know I love you. Please know that this in no way means that I don't feel loved by you, but please respect my choices and how, and my body. And that's a hard thing too, is like, they talk about that a lot, is if your family, don't worry about your food. Like, don't talk about other people's bodies. Don't talk about other people's food choices. Like, it's none of your business. Like, anyway, that's a whole different discussion. But I think just the biggest thing is recognizing, going into the event with your answers already prepared. Going into the event, kind of already planning, you know what? I really want to enjoy more of dinner, and I think I'm only going to have one dessert. I mean, and maybe you change your mind when you get there, but kind of having a game plan and telling people why. And I would say to not lead with the weight loss. I know sometimes we want weight loss, or we want to look a certain way, but more than anything, if you lead with, I want to feel good, I want energy. Like, I know if I overeat, I'm going to be exhausted the rest of the day. I'm going to be lethargic. I'm not going to be able to enjoy my time with you. I'm just not going to feel good. So that would be, just come prepared with a plan.
If you know you are going to stay at a hotel, or if you are simply going out for a dinner, go online, check the menu. So you don't get thrown by, you know, the temptations of getting a triple chocolate souffle out of nowhere, right? And to be honest, for most restaurants, unless they have like a specials menu, the menu isn't going to change. So you can go feeling very comfortable and confident that, right, I've made my choice. I'm literally just ordering when I'm there. And I think so. Your advice on coming prepared is like super, super good. I think in most things in life, right, be prepared. And I guess coming towards the end of our chat today, I've enjoyed this so, so much. And it's so good talking to somebody who's as obsessed with tasty food as I am. Can you give our listeners three pieces of advice, actually, coming into Christmas? What is something actionable that they can take away from today's episode?
So number one, not saving up your calories for that time and being ravenous, but going into it feeling good and feeling gentle hunger, and then, you know, just being present with it. So don't save up your calories. Try not to have FOMO. Try and recognize that you are an adult who can absolutely have this food at any other time. This is not a bad food. This is not a cheat day. This is just you enjoying a beautiful experience with your family. And in order to continue to enjoy that experience, let's make it a conscious experience where you're eating from a plate, where you're eating slowly, setting your fork down between bites, actually look up and talk to people at the table, you know? And then number three, just, I think being prepared with how you want to feel constantly. Like I always ask my clients to ask themselves, how can I best nourish and satisfy my body right now? And so like ask yourself, like usually I do that by prioritizing protein, fiber, and fat, like making sure mm-hmm. that I've got a well-balanced plate. The protein, because it's going to keep me satiated longer. It's going to help, you know, help me feel full. Fiber is going to help with my glucose levels, and it's going to help me with my digestion and just feeling again full in the moment. So as long as I'm checking in, how can I nourish and then satisfy? I think those are the biggest things. So don't save up your calories, don't have FOMO, and be prepared with the question of how do I want to feel right now?
And probably your favorite question of the whole chat coming up. What is the one food that always takes you to your happy place?
Oh, I don't have it often, but when I really, really want it, and I can still there's just a big, freshly baked, done right chocolate chip cookie, with a little bit of gooiness, warm, that almost a little bit of salt, that, you know, that's, if you can do that right, and it's in the right moment, right, when mm-hmm. you want it, and that's what you're craving, that'll definitely bring me to my happy place, is a chocolate chip cookie.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!